Praise God. Well, as the Lord may help me, I just want to continue this week in the theme of which we began 2 weeks ago. The tremendous truth, the honor that is ours, that we are indeed kings and priests. That if we've been called out of native darkness, if God has had mercy on us, if he has chosen us and chosen us to be a royal priesthood, means that we have been translated from one kingdom, a kingdom of darkness. We've been taken out of that, as the Apostle Paul says, and brought into the kingdom of his Son. It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom where Jesus Christ is reigning. Hallelujah. And we are, as the scripture says, washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful that we can keep ourselves clean, our outward bodies we can keep clean. We have plenty of water, we can have soap, an abundance of things to make sure we don't smell nastily. But the greatest thing is to have that heart cleansed, isn't it? The blood of the Lamb washes, white as snow, cleanses us from all our iniquity. Praise be to the Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, you see. But his blood was spilt that we might be cleansed. Oh, that fountain that has been opened for sin and unrighteousness. We need to keep clean, don't we? We need to keep clean. Will you turn again to Revelation and chapter 1, and we'll just read a few verses from there for the moment. Recall last week that I spoke on the ministry of intercession and other things, but in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, we read these words. There are Bibles available if you haven't got a Bible. They are the New International Version. I'm mainly quoting from the New King James Version, but it's the word of the Lord. John, verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. Who is and who was and is to come. He is to come. Hallelujah. He is to come. And then we will forever be with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We said last week, friends, that we are royalty. If you are now belonging, if you are now partakers of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it means that you are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You've adopted into his family. One of the songs we sung this morning as a fellowship was Father God. And thank you for adopting me into your family. Thank you that we are now sons and daughters of the living Lord God. If you're not a son and daughter of the living Lord God, it means you're still a son of Adam. You're still in the devil. But if he's taken you out of that through faith in Jesus and what he has done, if you've repented of your sins, you're now royalty. You have royal blood in your veins. I mentioned last week that you may be envious perhaps of the royalty. You may wish you was Prince Charles or somebody like that. But why envy a mere man? He may be in a privileged position and he may have responsibilities, but you and myself, we're members of the proper royal family. Hallelujah. Even David, King David, was a member of that family. Hallelujah. Our Jesus is the son of David. Hallelujah. We see the royal blood traced right through even to today. And we are royalty. He has made us kings and priests. Blessed be his name. And friends, if you think that that's something that we deserve, it isn't. The way to enter the kingdom and the way to stay in the kingdom is to remain broken, to keep humble, but to have faith in him, but also to realize what he has done for us. There's a scripture. Let's just turn to Ephesians, will we? Because it would be good to get the scripture in context. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we read verses 1 to 6. These are talking to those who are now in the kingdom. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. I love that. Verse 5, he has made us. We were dead, so it needed the supernatural work of the Lord. We were dead, but he has made us alive together with Christ, okay? Together with Christ. And raised us up together. We share the resurrection with Christ. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Okay, we are now seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think firstly, if we're with Christ, we have authority. We do have it because we're in the place of authority. That's what it means, doesn't it? We are in the place. So we have throne rights. But I say again, only when we are broken and, as it were, remade and filled with the Spirit of God, can we exercise our throne rights correctly. Or else there's so awful boasting. I forwarded, I saw, really made me weep, it trembled. I forwarded it on to one or two of you, because I'm not sure how many of you receive Andrew Strom's email, our brother Andrew. But he sends out from time to time his emails. And yesterday's one had a video link, a link attached to a YouTube video. And it was about a 25-minute length video of the shenanigans which are going on in Nigeria. This featured Nigeria, but is true in many other countries. And, of course, we've got the same charismatic filth in this country of the it is awful. If you want that link, and just so that you can pray and intercede, I can forward it to you if you don't have Andrew's letters. You know, we can get so puffed up with pride and run church as a business. It is so sad that is not Christ-like. We need to be broken and then allow Christ to remake us and fill us with the genuine Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then we can exercise our throne rights correctly. Brothers, sisters, we must have a right evaluation of our King and of ourselves. It's not enough, of course, to know good doctrine. We need to know good doctrine, but we need to apply it to our lives. One of the challenging difficulties that we have in the way we do church today is there's a man standing up the front and he's speaking to you, and you don't have an opportunity normally to ask questions or to even say, "What do you mean?" I want us to have that opportunity, you know, because it's, you know, they are preachers. God has called men to preach the word of God, and it's through the preaching that we're saved. Hallelujah. God uses the preaching. God brings teachers into our midst to help us to learn these truths, etc. But we need to apply it. And that's where we all come in. And all of us are priests. We're all ministers. And we should be helping each other, not just one man. As important as that may be, declaring the whole counsel of God. But we need to, and again, a great thing of being able to meet around the word in a home or whatever. What does this mean to me? How? Please help me. I'm struggling in this area. The word of God says this, but I'm really having difficulties in translating that into action. My thought patterns go all wrong at times. We help each other. We help each other. And I long to see that now more and more, because we're all ministers and priests. You see, our feet are on earth, aren't they? But there's a war raging, isn't there? There's a war raging all around us. We read about the principalities, the powers of the air, and so on. The spiritual warfare is going on, isn't it? Our feet are on the ground, but we're getting our orders from the Lord, from above. There is a warfare raging on the earth. We need to know our position. You have been raised together. You have made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need to exercise the authority that Christ has given to us. Not our own authority, but the authority of Jesus. I believe that each Christian is both a priest and a king. They're a royal priest and a king. We need to be both, because a king has authority, but a priest has access. The king has authority, but the priest has access. And our authority is given as children of the Most High God. We are children of the Lord. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So that we have the authority to use the wonderful and blessed name of Jesus. We read in John's Gospel in chapter 14 and verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in the name of Jesus, which is according to his will, he will do it." He will do it. Why? Because we're children of the heavenly King. This is the authority that he has given to bring peace, and he's given to us that others may be brought into the kingdom. The Great Commission says this, Matthew 28, And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Okay? Christ has the authority. Heaven and on earth. "Go therefore, because you're my children, you're my disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." Amen. As privileged children of the King, that mandate has been given to us. And as priests, we have access to the throne of grace, do we not? There's a lovely verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, I believe. We read this. In verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." I'm so thankful for that. I really, really am. "Yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He ever lives to make intercession for his people. We have access to that throne. You and I have access to that throne. And he says, come boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, friends, the priesthood is one in which every Christian is a functioning priest. The priesthood is one in which every Christian, every believer, is a functioning priest. Remember what we read in 1 Peter? We've read it for the last 2 weeks, 1 Peter chapter 2. "But you are a chosen..." Okay, let's repeat that. This is the word of God. It's speaking to you, to me. "But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You belong to God." You know, I am, you are a chosen people. You are a nation that God has called. In the beginning, in Exodus, we read that God told Moses, "You are my nation. You are a kingdom of priests." Unfortunately, as time went on, Hosea had some awful things to say. God said, "Look, you had knowledge, but you've lost it. You've blown it. You've blown it. You're no longer going to be my priest. But you are a chosen people. I'm a chosen person." Amazing, but praise God. "I'm a royal person. I'm a holy person. I'm separated from all that defiles." Why that you should show forth the praise or the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's so exercising your priesthood, you're showing forth his praise, you're showing forth his virtue to others who you meet. What a lovely picture that is of the Christian priesthood. As holy priests, we draw nigh to God. We present the sacrifice of praise. As royal priests, we go forth amongst our fellow men. In all the practical details of daily living, to show forth the virtues, the graces, the beautiful features of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, every moment, oh God, help us, every moment we should be emitting the fragrance of Christ as his subjects, as members of his family. All true believers are a holy priest. Do you believe that you are a priest? You're made so by the very fact that you've been born again. Every student of the Bible understands that the Mosaic system that was introduced was only a temporary system. It was a temporary dynasty that always looked forward ultimately to the establishment of Christianity and with Christ being the great high priest. It looked forward. You can read, for example, if you're making notes, Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. And in this wonderful book of Hebrews, which we've referred to this morning, it's one of the major themes. We are kingdom of priests. And in the book of Hebrews, of course, the writer emphasizes, doesn't he, that as a result of the sacrificial death of Christ, there was a change, both in the law and in the priesthood. He talks in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12 that not only has there been a change in the law, Christ has fulfilled the law, but there's a change in the priesthood. The old Levitical priesthood no longer exists for the children of God, for the Christian, for the believers. That pointed to the coming of Christ, and that a new nation of both Jew and Gentiles would come, believing in the Messiah, in the Yeshua, and that we are now the kingdom priests. That verse, Hebrews 7 verse 12, says in another version, you see, given that there is a change in the priesthood, then necessarily there is a change in the law. There's a change in the priesthood. And the biblical teaching of the universal priesthood of genuine Christians, I think, is both thrilling and challenging. Unfortunately, it has been seriously perverted. But I think those of us who want to be sincere before the Lord and honest with each other, we will want to return to the original scriptures. Because, folk, the idea of certain men calling themselves priest in contrast with the people, so we are the priest, you're the lay people, a certain caste, if you like, distinguished by title, by dress, distinguished and separated from the body of Christians, is not Christianity. It's not Christianity. It's Judaism at best, but it's worse than that. It's worse than that. There is absolutely no biblical authority for this clerical distinction. The clergy-laity distinction, or if you like, division, raised its ugly head in the 3rd century. Long after the apostles died. Long after they died. The New Testament, of course, teaches leadership among the people of God, but not in a way that leads to the clergy-laity distinction. That is not the conclusion if you read the Word of God. We need to understand that, because I think it will liberate me and it will liberate you. I really do. And so we are to offer sacrifices to God and the blessings of God on behalf of the people around us. Turn with me as we bring this to a conclusion. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. 1 Peter 2. We referred to this 2 weeks ago. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? Let's just go over it again. We're living as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, but we're still on earth. Okay? The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. You have Christ living, dwelling, reigning in you. Okay? That's what the word says. Glory to God. So therefore, you're going to be a misfit. You're an alien. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim on earth. But God still wants you here. He hasn't taken you off yet on your chariot. You're still here, okay? So while you're here, he wants you and me to represent him faithfully, lovingly, and powerfully as kings and as priests. My brother here just spoke even before the service and the opportunity he had to be a priest to somebody else by praying with somebody, pointing them to God. That's what priests do. They represent God, and they go before man. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. But we're misfits, and that will get us into trouble at times. We will be made fun of. It's not easy, is it? But we're to expect it in these days. But for some, hey, they're going to smell the fragrance of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But friends, if people do speak against us, may it be because we're Christians and believers, that we're standing on the word of God, we're not ashamed of Jesus, and not for anything evil. But may they see your good works, because you're a priest. May they see your good works as priest, and glorify God in the day of visitation, in the day of his judgment when he comes. So, Christian priests do not fulfill the same function as the Jewish priest. We don't slaughter animals, but instead, we perform the kind of sacrifice our Lord did. Self-sacrifice, even for the benefit of others who are in need. Further on in 1 Peter chapter 2, we read in verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Our Lord Jesus went about doing good, didn't he? He really went about doing good. He went about in the power of the Spirit. He went about doing healings. He went about setting people free. He spoke the word of God. When it needed, it was a harsh word, but he loved. He had a special place for the children and said to adults, "You've got to become like that child. You've got to have faith in me. Humble yourself." So Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. That means, obviously, doesn't mean that we have to follow him by dying on the cross. His death was sufficient. Once only, but it is understood as being spiritual sacrifices, meaning acts performed at the expense of self for others in need. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 7 to 10. "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When we understand that we're the priesthood of the Lord, we're aware of our duties and responsibilities to each other. It's not just left to the clergy. We're one anothering. As somebody mentioned, as I think a brother mentioned in his testimony, you know, there are times when we're going to be rejoicing with each other. You know, we're laughing with you. Another time, we need to weep with you. Bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the love of Christ. Friends, we're not there yet, but God has been merciful and gracious. My heart's desire is that as brothers and sisters, we honour one another and we spend time and you know, I mentioned last week about, you know, just being there for people, not interfering, but that we know there's a friend there who cares, who understands, who's being a priest even for me, helping me in my time of need. And then that person who has been helped, that person who just received the love of Jesus through that brother, through that sister, through that family of God, think, hey, I'm also a priest. God has been merciful to me. I want to show grace to somebody else. Acting as priest. Taking authority because we're seated with him in the heavenly places. Taking authority against Satan. Oh, the blood of the Lamb. It's not a mantra, you know, in the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood. That's not a mantra, but it's powerful. It is powerful. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, but Satan trembles when he sees the blood. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Friends, we are priests. We are kings. Satan should be trembling when he gets near. He will try to get you at your weakness, at your weak point. He will try and come in all manner of ways, even to get you puffed up if he can. But we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. The word of God says, submit to the Lord. Resist the devil. He will flee from you because you have the word, you have the blood, you have the authority, you have Jesus. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Friends, we've got truly have to believe this word. And I think it will make a tremendous difference. Caring for one another. There is no spiritual elite in this kingdom. And this sharing is also laying up treasures in heaven. Hebrews 6 verse 10. Mentions that. So folks, our workplaces, our homes, they offer daily opportunities, don't they? The self-sacrifices, small and large. Remember, you are chosen. You are chosen. You're a royal priesthood. God has called you. You didn't choose him. He chose you first, belonging to God. It means we're followers of Jesus. We are a royal priesthood. We have the priest vocation to be a blessing to the world, especially through self-sacrifice. Acts chapter 16, we read about Paul and Silas, okay? There's this girl who was making a fortune for her bosses because she was able to tell fortunes. She was in witchcraft. And then Paul, Silas comes along and speaks the name of Jesus, condemns the practice she was doing, and the power to tell fortune was taken away from this girl. In the name of Jesus. So her employers, people who were making a living from this woman's fortune telling, were angry, really annoyed, and Paul and Silas were sent to jail, weren't they? They were put in prison. because this woman, you know, Jesus was being proclaimed, and Jesus' name is powerful. Jesus' blood is powerful. Now, how did Paul and Silas act as priests? Now, they've been thrown in the jail, they've been thrown in prison. Did they act as priests? How did they act as priests? They prayed and praised God. Now, that's an awful situation to be in, isn't it? To be in prison, to have your freedom taken away. They're in prison, not because they did bad things, but because they were honouring Jesus and using the function of priest wisely and saw the power of God at work. So they acted as priests. They loved the Lord. They prayed, they praised. They prayed, they praised. What happened? There was an earthquake, okay? The prison doors were open. Their chains were loosed. Sacrifice, a praise, priest, kings. What situation are you going to be in this week? You're going to ask the Lord for an opportunity, not to go to prison, but to be his representative. Access to God and being a blessing to those around you. Amen. Father, we ask you to bless your word to us. Thank you for the tremendous privilege of being members of your kingdom, that we have been called. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Lord, we know, each one of us will know personally how our own evil heart and intentions and how the wicked one also tempts us. And sometimes we feel anything but a king and a priest. We confess that, Lord. But we want to take confidence in your word. Without faith, we can't please you, Lord. Means if we have faith in you and the word of God, we will be pleasing to you and you'll use us for your glory. Help us, Lord, to have that burden for others, others within the community of God's own people, but also in the community of those who are outside Christ at this moment. Help us to see our responsibilities as intercessors, priests praying fervently on behalf of others, ministering to others. Help us to see, Lord, your grace, your power at work through us. Any of us, Lord, who've never really considered that word of God in Ephesians, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. If we've not actually seen, but by faith in the Spirit and with what Christ has done, we are enthroned with you. We're declaring the virtues, the praise, the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that for my brothers and sisters who may be going this week into difficult situations in the workplace or dealing with a family issue, they don't really know what to do, but may their eyes be up unto you, Lord, and may they see that in Christ they can do all things. They can be abased, they can be full, they can have nothing, they can have everything. But they can be content, knowing that you are with them, that they can do all things. Help us, Lord, to see our role in Christ as priest and kings. Because, Lord, that we may be perpetuating the clergy-laity distinction, which is unhelpful. help us to see ourselves as equals. Different giftings, different ministries, but all priest, all sharing, all caring. As others have needs, we see them and quietly get on and fulfill the law of Christ, because we're bearing one another's burdens. Pray, oh God, we'll be a more and more compassionate people. People who love Jesus and who love the brethren and see their mission as priests, as ambassadors in this wicked world. Until you come, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Come now, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, come. Sanctify us afresh for you, for your glory. Lord, I know some of my dear brothers and sisters have been battered and blown around. But I thank you, Lord, they're still here. I pray, O God, that you will display your mighty power, that you will strengthen, and in the Holy Spirit we will do exploits for you in this day. That we'll be a Samuel, burdened, but also released. Hear us, we pray. Stir us up. May each and every one be an intercessor, Lord. Some have an even greater, you know, will spend more time interceding. Help each one of us to fulfill our role as prayer warriors, as interceders. And let's see your kingdom come in Tilgate, in Furnace Green, in Broadfield, Bewbush, Gossips Green, Langley Green, Maidenbower, Worth, Ifield. See your kingdom come more through Crawley, Lord, because we're obedient, we see ourselves with our other brothers and sisters as your priests, your ambassadors, and kings, royal blood. Let's see your kingdom come in Horsham. Let's see your kingdom come in Howsham. See your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. See your kingdom come. Because your people know that they're seated with Christ, ruling and reigning with you in the heavenly places. May we not shrink from our calling, knowing that we are set apart for this. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray.